So listen, we're back on the phone with Dr. Daniel Clausen. We're talking about three diseases that he deals with on a daily basis. He is assistant professor of neurology at Vanderbilt University, did his neurology residency at the Mayo Clinic. Just a freakishly smart man. We're buddies, so I can say that. And it's he's just a brilliant man, but he's also got a huge heart. I've watched him up close and personal, and he has such a tender heart. He tries to keep things light with his patients because he knows that what they're dealing with is crushing. And for example, when somebody gets a diagnosis of Huntington's disease, that's a crushing diagnosis, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we run our Huntington's disease clinic probably once a month. And at the end of each clinic, I definitely say we take a knee because it's a very grueling experience. In the case of Huntington's, most folks that get it are around mid-30s, 40s. So, you know, they've just started their life. They may have kids that are young. And so it is a very weighty conversation, without a doubt.
And I love the fact that you guys integrate so many social services around it. You don't just make the diagnosis and put your hand on their shoulder and say, well, it's going to be tough, but maybe you need to get some counseling. You guys have the program. You're prepared for that. When they come in and deal with this, you bring in a whole team around that patient to let them, you know, to kind of pack around them to let them know that they're not alone with this and guide them through some tough decisions that they have to make as individuals and as a family and as a group. And I love that. And I've seen that happen in Gracie's situation at the Vanderbilt program. It took me a while to get her into that system. We had doctors kind of scattered all over the place, but we've been integrated now into that system for some time. And there's so many things that go on with her. And so I do love that problem. That's not just I'm not just giving a shout out to Vanderbilt. I actually live this life, and so these are tough things. Let's move on to, and we're going to open up the phone lines in just a minute, but I want to get through these things, and I've already got callers lining up, so I'm going to play your nurse today and schedule all these things for you. But let's get into Parkinson's.
Hey, triage is my job.
Triage is your, okay, John is the phrase. Let's get into Parkinson's disease. Now, there's about 1 million people dealing with this across the country, and with famous individuals like Michael J. Fox and Billy Graham and some others. Talk about Parkinson's a little bit. When does that diagnosis usually come on? I know Michael J. Fox got his a lot earlier. That's pretty abnormal, isn't it?
Yeah. Generally speaking, most people get diagnosed with Parkinson's around a late 50s, early 60s. That's kind of when the diagnosis is made. In fact, there's generally more men that get Parkinson's than women, probably a 60-40% difference. In Parkinson's, where, you know, unlike, say, Alzheimer's, where the first symptom is memory, in Parkinson's, the first symptom is related to movement. And so generally, someone may have a tremor at rest or slowness of movement, or, you know, when they're walking, their one arm doesn't swing very well. And so, the neurologist will kind of examine you and try and give you some medication to see if you respond to it. But generally, it's a little earlier than Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's usually presents a little later in life. Parkinson's a little earlier, and then Huntington's even a little earlier than that.
Well, now, if you're out in the outlying areas, I mean, you're here at a big research hospital. You've got, you know, the metro community of Nashville. Is there a misdiagnosis often with Huntington's versus Parkinson's?
Generally speaking, of course the answer is never say never, never say always. So, yeah, it does happen. But, you know, doctors generally, you know, try diagnose things based on how you responded to therapy. So with Parkinson's disease, the way it works is you don't have enough dopamine in the brain, and so if you give dopamine, a person with symptoms would get typically better. And so if that happens, you've got a pretty good certainty that that's Parkinson's. Huntington's, you know, you really got to spend time with the family and trying to sort out the family history. And if you are able to do that, you got a pretty good clue. But you can always send the genetic test as well. But yeah, misdiagnosis does happen, and we have to deal with that sometimes. Yeah.
All right, and I'm going to save Alzheimer's for the next segment, but let me spend a little bit more time in Parkinson's. I've got a great friend of mine. He's 69 years old, and I hope you're listening today, Dave. And he takes hot keto with me, and he has Parkinson's.
Uh-huh.
And he's out there I mean, I'm throwing him in moves. I mean, he's doing rolls and tumbles and falls and everything else. In fact, one of the things we kid about with each other is that when he stumbles or shuffles a little bit when he walks to lose his balance when we're on the mats, he goes ahead and does a backfall just to slap out of it. And that way he's not trying to catch his balance. He goes ahead and falls, because that's one of the things we teach in martial arts is how to fall. Huh. And it's really inspiring to watch this guy. And he and I mean, we get out there and we do some crazy stuff. I mean, he's hurling me over, and he's 69 years old. And it's just amazing to watch him work. And he's a real inspiration to all of us. And, you know, and one of the things that I think he'd be the first to tell you is that, you know, what would he be doing if he wasn't doing martial arts? You know, and he does a lot of yoga. He does a lot of martial arts to try to keep him loose and limber. I assume that's a part of the treatment, is to try to do things like that to keep yourself physically active and limber.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think in the last, especially 5 years, I think the treatment of Parkinson's has now really, exercise therapy is what I refer to my patients. It's a pill that you have to take. And so when I see my patients, regardless of if they have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, the first thing I... Well, at least one of the things I tell them is, are you exercising? And if you're not, then let's get a plan to do that. And with Parkinson's especially, a lot of patients notice a tremendous benefit from exercising. Not a lot of my patients throw other people on the ground, but
well,
I'm a little worried about you now, Peter. You're throwing my patients on the ground.
No, he's throwing me. he's hurling me around. So it's really inspiring to watch him do it, and I couldn't be prouder. He and I are about at the same level, and we'll both be testing for a black belt this time next year, and he'll be 70 years old. When he's doing that. So that's really quite amazing. Listen, we got to take another quick break. We're at the bottom of the hour here. Learning that his mother-in-law was coming to live with them, a friend asked, "Where do I even start?" You start by calling Aging in Place Transition Services. If the best choice for your loved one means staying in their own home, the Aging in Place team will develop a customized plan to adapt for aging in their current home. Their goal is to make your loved one's home more functional, safe, organized, and easy to maintain. But if that loved one needs to relocate to your home, downsize, or move into a senior care community, they will help pack, organize, and safely move the precious things collected over a lifetime. They don't miss a beat and cover everything from creating a full inventory to even staging the current home for optimum resale. You can trust your loved one and their precious things with my friends at Aging in Place Services. Call them today at 615-330-9918 or agingandplaceservices.net.